The following is an audio version of the Off the Record videocast. Friends of Fantasy Benefits has partnered with Nickel Press TV to bring this weekly edition to our show. Every week, host Andy Singleton are joined by Tehil Bedek and Celine Parekh, the fantasy doctor, as well as some of the leading fantasy football minds in the industry. You can watch the full version on friendsoffantasybenefits.com or on the Nickel Press YouTube page. Hope you enjoy the show.
Injuries, breakouts, busts. There's no escaping this. So this is episode 7 off the record. Football season has finally begun. We have a star-studded show. We are joined this week by world-famous super producer, rapper extraordinaire, Psycho Les of the Beat Nuts.
What's good? What's good? Chilling, man.
You're making the rounds. You're doing a little promotion right now. You want to tell everybody what that is?
Yeah, I mean, I got the new album. It's called Thank God. Like, Thank the Sticky Icky. Thank God, Volume 1. Got a lot of people, a lot of guests on there. And it's out right now. iTunes is everywhere.
We're happy to have you here. We're gonna go over some fantasy football, as I imagine. Out of your millions of fans, at least one of them is playing. Our other guest this week is Jen Ryan of Football Diehards. My co-host Tehil has been clamoring for us to get some female guests on this show. So you are the pioneer.
Thanks for having me on. It's I don't know who I'm more starstruck by. I got to be honest. It's either you, Andy, or Les. You know, I'm a big fan of both of you. But yeah, you can find me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is FFDegenerate, spelled with a J for Jen. And you can find all my work on footballdiehards.com. And every now and then I crash the Football Diehards show on SiriusXM Fantasy.
Yeah, I'm surprised Jen didn't know who I am. I'm just going to tell her that her career is now on life support. And I'm a pull the plug every third shooting.
It's the pill, man.
Week one is behind us now. We saw a lot of things that maybe we weren't expecting to see. Just looking at the quarterback position, Andrew Luck is back to what everybody was hoping he was. And I'm going to let my co-host take this one because he's got some explaining to do. He was telling everybody to take Tyrod Taylor, that this guy was going to light it up, that he was going to be top five quarterback. And he actually finished as the worst starter. Actually, maybe not if you throw Case Keenum into that. But other than that, he was really brutal.
There's no apology necessary if you watch the game at all, Andy. Obviously, he has nowhere to go with the ball. Sammy Watkins is at like 60% out there. Robert Woods fell off like a bad bag of dope years ago. Speaking of dope, I'm bumping the Dank album, Dank God album over here. There's tons of people on this album that are used to be kind of like my favorite dudes back in the day. This shit is banging. I just downloaded on Amazon as we speak. I'm doing that. Be Real's on there. Back to Deck. That song's a banger. Hip hop never left. I'm feeling that right there. But there's no excuse for what the Bills are doing here on offense, man. It's not his fault, man. The people are dogging him. He had like a couple barely inaccurate passes. Other than that, what's the problem, dude? He's getting stormed by Baltimore's defense. Look great. There's nowhere for him to go with the ball. You know, I'm totally selling on them now. Like, I'm just not feeling it. It's all bad in Buffalo this year. I do apologize for that call in week one. I wanted to believe, but I can't.
That is the fastest anyone has ever jumped ship. Les, have you ever had somebody that you asked do a guest appearance on a song you were doing, and then when they gave you their verse, you were just stole, like, this is not going to work out, period. But how do I tell the guy you're a star and happy to have you contribute a verse, but this is just not going to cut it? Has that experience ever plagued you? Because this is basically what he's talking about with Tyrod.
Yeah, I mean, it did happen, but it wasn't nobody big, like no one famous. It was just like some regular dudes trying to get me on something. And then when I heard that shit, I was like, yo, you got to step it up, you know?
Well, that's basically what Tyrod Taylor did for the Lord's predictions over here. Did you happen to see any of the action of opening week this past weekend? Did you catch any NFL games?
Actually, I was at the last Giants game. We was at the Beer Garden, but I was drinking half of the time, so it was like I was just there for the drinks and shit.
In defense of the Lord, I owe you one anyway. I was all over Tyrod last week. He was one of my highest owned quarterbacks on DraftKings, and he really kind of tanked me. But I was stuck in a baby shower on Sunday for about 4 hours, so I was kind of stuck paying attention to the phone. I didn't get to see much of the game. All I saw was his 5 points on my bench, fortunately, in my season-long league. But I'm sticking with him. I just want to see them get some more targets towards LeSean McCoy, which I think inevitably they're going to have to. I caught all four of his looks last week. So I kind of ticking him up a little bit with Sammy's bum foot.
You got a Cowboys fan here who took on the Giants this weekend and probably a little disappointed. Did you happen to see Victor Cruz's touchdown and him getting to dance and do a little salsa in the end zone again? Were you able to catch that one before you?
I caught that.
Okay.
I have to tell you, though, nobody was happier than me. I mean, I'm a huge Victor Cruz fan. I was thrilled to see him dance. And I don't know, one of the first things I noticed, his first catch, it's like I could hear through my TV all of Cowboys Stadium doing the Cruz. At first, I was like, my God, are they building them? And I was like, no, they're just cruising for him. And, you know, every time he caught the ball, it sounded like the stadium was really into it. I was thrilled to see Victor Cruz back. He was also really cheap to draft all summer, so I feel like I got him for free in the late rounds of a lot of NFL pens, and looking forward to him this year.
Well, are you a Giant or a Jet fan?
More Giants.
Okay. So you got to be pretty happy with the fact that they knocked off the Cowboys this week.
Of course.
I'm assuming. Well,
Gotta rep New York, you know?
Absolutely. You gotta get the Thank God album as well. Now, when I first asked you if you would be a guest, I know there was kind of a mix, like, okay, I don't play fantasy football, but I'm willing to learn, and I see that millions of people are playing.
Yep.
So now that I have two experts on who break this down and analyze this, as you can see, what are some of the things you have? Do you have any questions about how the game has started, evolved, what it is?
And I'm surprised you don't play fantasy football. I mean, when I see fat asses, I make fat passes like quarterback. Beat nuts is all of that. Your shit is hella. I mean, you've been rapping about quarterbacks in 2001 down. At least.
I mean, I love football, but I just don't be into it like that, you know?
Okay. Well,
I'm more about playing it.
All right, so Jim, when you if you're building a team, if you're taking on Les as your apprentice, and you're gonna guide him through a season, let's guide him through a week 2 lineup for FanDuel or DraftKings for DFF.
So Les, the first thing that I usually like to do is I kind of like to check the Vegas lines. I just figure if Vegas expects it to be a high scoring game, you're probably gonna want to target players from those games. And then if you go ahead and look on DraftKings, they list the opponent's rank. So I try to target guys who have softer matchups. I also try to always pair my quarterback with one of his receivers. But my first piece of advice is I would pay down at quarterback. I very rarely pay up.
Yeah, are you taking notes over there? She's giving you free money.
Yeah, no, I'm listening.
There's millions of people doing this. You're going to be surprised when all your fans start hitting you up going, I didn't know you were getting into fantasy football. So they're going to start throwing players at you and giving you sleepers and busts and advice.
I'm going to start doing my research for sure.
I'm going to ask you, Les, to go ahead and promote the album.
I mean, the album is called Thank God. It looks like this. I have this cover. It's called Thank God Volume 1. You can find me on IG. At psycho_less. Twitter is at _psycholess. And if you want the hard copy CD, you could get that at pitfightgoodies.bigcartel.com.
Any other projects you got? Is there going to be a tour coming up? Anything at all like that?
Yeah, B-Nuts is about to go on tour with Onyx, Lords of the Underground, Snow Goons, and somebody else I'm forgetting right now. But
are you coming to Seattle?
It's gonna be in Europe, actually. We're gonna work our way to Seattle, though.
No shows in the city.
In New York.
Yeah.
That's where you're at.
New Jersey.
Okay. Oh, New Jersey. Well, tonight I'm gonna be at Cielo.
Oh no, I got work tomorrow, Les. I can't come tonight.
Yeah, I mean, all my parties is the week, during the week. The weekends, I'm usually relaxing and shit. Hey, man, I'm going to stay tuned with all the football shit going on and try to, you know, get on this fantasy thing.
Okay.
Fantasy Island.
We're going to try to get you back after you've played a couple, bit, and see how your success was and what you've learned from it.
Exactly. I'm gonna definitely keep tuned in to you guys and see what's going on, huh? What's, you know?
Well, this is where all the good advice is.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I gotta try to get you to give me an old beat you have lying around that you're not doing anything with, so I can use it as the intro music.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Make it happen. I'll be dope.
All right. Well, I appreciate you joining us this week. Thank you for checking in. It's been a pleasure to have you. And like I said, hopefully we'll try to get you on at some point in the future. And the album is Thank God. Make sure you go out and get that. Yeah. Follow him on Twitter.
Thanks for having me, man.
Cool. No problem. I appreciate it.
All right, yo. Peace out.
All right. So tight ends have been a very intriguing position for me to try to navigate through. Seems to be only like one or two at the top. And then that one guy at the top actually didn't even play week one. So it just kind of goes to show you like how little that position really is paying back on its investment. Jacob Tammy is somebody that's sticking out to me. Jack Doyle obviously had a huge week. Nobody saw he would come up with two touchdowns. Jason Witten, old reliable. Kobe Fleener, a lot of people were on him. I wasn't. Big disappointment. Jen, I see you shaking your head with Kobe Fleener. Are you a Fleener fan?
I'm not, and I actually can't stand him, but I'm just a big fan of the New Orleans Saints tight end role, and I just feel like he's butchering it. And what's killing me is I'm looking at the DraftKings salaries now, and he's $1,000 cheaper this week than he was last week. So even DraftKings has slashed his price, and he's getting the Giants, who Jason Witten just, you know, did torch a little bit with the exception of no touchdown. I don't know what to do with Fleener. You know, everything's telling me play him. He's cheaper and he has the opportunity. I don't think he's that good at football. You know, we can run the numbers all we want. If you're not good, he's going to burn you.
Yeah, I agree. I've had a lot to say negatively about Fleener in the past. I think there was way too much made of him going to New Orleans.
Yeah, it's a little disappointing, but everything they said in preseason, like, it was pretty clear that Fleener just isn't getting it. It's not working out there. It's not going great. Yeah, I hardly noticed him during the game at all. But like Jen said, it's a little cheaper this week. Maybe there's something there. The Giants' safeties and linebackers is probably kind of their weakness as far as coverage is concerned. So there might be some holes there. But again, I'm probably staying away until I actually witness something out of him. It's probably, again, for DFS, I don't know. Depending on how many lineups you make, maybe it's worth a shot. But probably not something I'm touching this week.
Well, what about in your season-long leagues? I mean, we know DFS is not kosher by you, so.
Yeah, Dwayne Allen is one of my bounce-back players this year. I don't know really what happened. I don't see him on the injury report, but I saw he came out of the game after he took a shot near the goal on a touchdown attempt or whatever, and then Jack Doyle and these other bums are getting all his catches, getting touchdowns. But he was getting off early. He had double-digit touchdowns 2 years ago. Fleener's out of there. Luck's back healthy. Should be wide open in the middle of the field all day long. So if he's healthy, granted he doesn't have a great matchup this week against Denver, but going forward for the rest of the season, he's definitely has top 5 to 7 tight end potential. I don't love the tight end spot this year, so he's a big guy for me. So I'd like to see that. Hopefully he's healthy. Again, I see nothing on the injury report, no mention of him coming out of the game. I don't know where the reporting is on this. It's unacceptable. I don't understand what's going on. Andy, is your air conditioning off? You look a little hot.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. It's very humid in New York today, all of a sudden. I should have asked the doctor about Dwayne Allen, but we didn't get to that one. Was there any tight end in particular that stood out to you, though, that you'd be looking to go and get? Is Jack Doyle somebody you're buying into based on his 4-target, 3-reception, 35-yard, 2-touchdown Sunday afternoon?
Because the only reason he was in there is because Allen came out. So I don't think if Dwayne Allen's out for any period of time, which we don't know because the great mystery continues. Nobody knows what happened to him or why he came out of the game or what's going on or if he's okay now. He's not on the injury report. So, yeah, Doyle, no. O'Doyle rules, no. Nothing really. I mean, nobody really stood out to me, to be quite honest.
I think Dwayne Allen's a guy, you know, like we just said. He kind of just subbed in for him and got some great opportunities. Dwayne Allen's an older guy, you know. It was his first live-action game. You know, the touchdown exhausted him, maybe. I was looking, too. I didn't see anything to indicate an injury. Not buying into Jack Doyle. I am buying into Jacob Tammy, though. I won't ignore his eight targets. I also will not ignore his 75% completion rate. He's good at catching the ball, and it looks like the quarterback wants to throw to him.
Was tied for fourth among all tight ends in week one with those eight targets. He totaled that into six receptions for 51 yards. Didn't score, but had he scored a touchdown, you add a touchdown to six catches, 51 yards, I think everybody would be talking about him a lot more than they currently are.
If Julio Jones is banged up with the ankle or whatever, what all it probably means he'll get more targets for whatever that's worth to you guys.
I just think it's nice to know that Ryan has shown he can work with tight ends in the past. Obviously, Tony Gonzalez is of a different breed, but still, Tammy has some credentials.
You're basically the same guy.
So moving on to one of the biggest disappointments of week one, and this is a guy I've been low on. We've talked about him in the show before. I don't think DeHa's a fan either. But, Jen, you were very disappointed in Matt Jones' week one. Explain a little bit on that one.
I would like to go on the record. I've never been high on Matt Jones. I've maintained that Chris Thompson is the running back to own. And even I was surprised by Chris Thompson's usage. I didn't think he would get as much run as he did. I just think he's a bad running back, and I think he showed that.
I personally was disappointed to not see, despite how awful Matt Jones was, Rob Kelly really get much of a go in this game.
He didn't really. It's not like he got a ton of carries. Chris Thompson got in there, stole the touchdown, of course. But, yeah, Matt Jones, I kind of benched in my league, any leagues I had him in this week. I like the talent. I'm just, you know, I'm going to have to see some. If he doesn't show something here in the next week or two, then Kelly, who you mentioned, is probably going to start getting some reps in there, not just be given the job, because he's going to have to do something. I'm not going to hold it against him week one so much because, again, I didn't love the matchup. And, you know, it's not like he got a ton of work in there, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I'm not going to hold him accountable for Kirk Cousins blowing nuts, because he does, because he's never beat a team, any playoff team. I think he's 0-5 career-wise. All he does is pack up stats against bum-ass defenses on weak-ass teams.
And you like that. So we finally got football back this season, and, of course, we got injuries. I'm not going to jump into the Keenan Allen one, even though everybody's talking about it. I'm not going to talk about Robert Griffin because he's out as well. I'm going to talk about guys that are going to affect your lineup. So let me bring in the doctor, the fantasy doctor, Dr. Selim Parekh. You know him, Duke University, orthopedic surgeon. Right off the bat, Russell Wilson, there was some controversy with his high ankle sprain. First, it was said he might be out for a significant time. Now it's being said he's going to be back as soon as this week. Without Russell Wilson, the Seahawks really have no shot at doing anything. So.
Well, I think DeHa can breathe easy. I think he's going to play this weekend. High ankle sprain, but usually a high ankle sprain means 2 to 4 weeks out of commission. But I think he probably had more of a bad low ankle sprain because he was in a boot Sunday night. Monday he was out of the boot. I've heard he's been practicing today. I think he's good to go. Like, I can't imagine there's any reason why he'll be sitting on this weekend. It doesn't seem to be a true high ankle sprain, because if it were, okay, he wouldn't be able to run, wouldn't be able to practice. He'd be out 2 to 4 weeks.
Zach Ertz, ready to make a leap breakout this year. Now he has a collarbone type of injury going on. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, it's actually bigger than that. So if you feel your collarbone, right underneath it is your first rib. You don't usually feel the first rib. You don't even know it's going to be there. But he dislocated that first rib. And the problem is you have a lot of nerves and vessels coming out of your spine, out of that area as it supplies your upper extremity. So the real danger is if that rib pushes on any of the nerves or blood vessels, they put it back into place. It doesn't usually need surgery. It's going to take a little bit of time for him to feel more comfortable and have a pain relief to get back on the field.
One of the other big names this week was Sammy Watkins.
So I think this is going to be something that we got to watch out for. You know, there was a lot of controversy Monday about whether or not he was getting x-rays, and apparently he first said he didn't ask to get them done. Then he told the media he did ask to get them done. and that he was feeling okay, but he just wanted to be cautious. Listen, the bottom line is if an athlete's thinking about his foot and is asking for x-rays, there's an issue going on. And so my concern is, you know, in the preseason, he had a point where the foot bothered him. They sat him out from some of the practices. Obviously, something's going on in the foot. The x-rays didn't show a re-break. It didn't show that it never healed. So this could be a soft tissue issue. It could be a nerve issue. It can even be what we call an overload issue. So keep an eye on this. Although he'll probably be good to go on Thursday, if this becomes a thing that keeps bothering him and you keep hearing about it week after week, look for him to be shut down at some point for a significant period of time.
Demaryius Thomas.
I think he's good to go. He had a second opinion on his hip MRI. That came back clean, so I think he's good to go.
Rob Gronkowski missed week one. Is he back for week two?
The word on the street is that he may actually miss this week. The hamstring is bothering him more than people are suggesting. So I think it's you got to watch how this plays out as the week goes on. He may miss this week, and maybe it's week three that we see him.
Two more names, Jamaal Charles. We touched on him last week. You were 100% accurate with your prediction that he would not play.
I think Jamaal Charles is out this week as well. He's being nursed along, but he's nowhere near where he needs to be. So I think he's out for another 1 or 2 weeks, maybe even more.
Okay, and the last one, another guy who might have lost his starting job or valuable role, that's Marcus Wheaton.
Yeah. So Marcus Wheaton, shoulder injury. We don't know the specifics of it, but clearly it took him out of Monday night's game. The word is that he may be cleared, but again, without knowing exactly what's going on, and the Steelers are really being hushed about it, it's hard to give a strong timetable on this. It's, again, a day-to-day thing. You just got to keep your ears to kind of what the media is saying.
Well, Doc, you are the best. Thank you again for filling us in on some key injuries and updates on players.
See you guys.
Doc, appreciate it. See you next week. Week one surprises, you have listed Brandon Cooks.
If you remove that 93-yard touchdown, you know, he still had a great day. 98. If you remove that, you know, his week finishes much differently.
I have both Cooks and Snead on one of my teams, and I thought there's no way I'm going to start them both in the same game. And I'm facing a guy in the Dream League, the Rasball Dream League that Tahal and I are both in. And I went against Ralph Lifshitz this week. I don't even want to mention his name after what he did to me. But he started Cooks and Snead. And I still feel both of their feet up my, you know, where. So it was not a pleasant week.
Jen here with us as always. I'm so thankful to have a woman on the show. Finally. Brandon Cooks is a guy we all expected to break out last year, I think. We were kind of hoping for it, thought he's going to go off. He kind of had a weak start, kind of finished okay. So, yeah, I mean, if that's a sign of things to come, then he's going to go off. I think, you know, he's got the most upside of all these guys. But Snead looks really solid. I mean, he looks good. People are underrating him quite a bit. Michael Thomas came out, but I'm like, you know, they're forgetting about Snead, who was going off last year. Every week people are like, who is this guy? But he's legit.
Ezekiel, Zeke, Elliott taking on these same Washington Redskins. So what is it that you were specifically looking forward to with this particular matchup?
A win. We need a win. I think we can win. I'm really looking forward. I wouldn't say looking forward. I'm looking for Zeke to get it going. I think he was like 2.3 yards per carry last week, which for a crazy fan like me is unacceptable. I'll give him the adjustment to the NFL, but when you're looking at what 33-year-old D'Angelo Williams just did to that Redskins defense, I mean, this kid needs to crack 100. I want him to catch a touchdown. I want him to rush a touchdown. He needs to, you know, kind of show me why we spent a fourth-round pick on him instead of defense.
Many people overreact once the season starts. So when Jameis Winston got off to not the best of starts in the first quarter, all you saw was people overreacting on Twitter. This guy's a bum. He's horrible. He's trash. Well, he finished the game with over 300 yards, 4 touchdowns, a win, doing everything I expected him to do in his sophomore year, which is going to be a true breakout performance.
He might not throw for 4 touchdowns again. That's fine. But I expect him to perform. I have him in a ton of my season-long leagues. He was one of those mobile quarterbacks that I target just because I kind of punt the running back position. I want to see him run. And if Jimmy G can throw on the Patriots defense, there's absolutely no reason Jameis can't. I mean, the kid has an arm. He has the talent around him.
He's a great leader. It's very underrated. He's a great Dudier, he's a great leader of men, as I just said. He delivered the halftime speech of all halftime speeches for Florida State week one. He's the reason they're undefeated right now.
DeMarco Murray, former Cowboy.
I'm looking for it to be used in the receiving game again, like he was last week. He got 7 targets, caught 2 touchdowns. That's always good. I just want to see him get those bell cow carries. When he was in Dallas specifically and they ran him dead, he picked up as the game went on. And I think in games that he had like 20-plus touches was when they saw their most success. You brought him in. You gave him a raise. You're paying him more than the Eagles were. Just feed him the ball. That's what I'd like to see.
And this has a lot to do with the Tennessee Titans as an organization, a staff, and as a mother effing crew. Together as one. It's Tupac's birthday. By the way, RIP, the greatest rapper of all time. No offense to Psycho Les, one of my favorites also. The Titans, like, what is happening here? How do you give up 25 points without the Vikings scoring an offensive touchdown? Mariota's got to take the reins of this thing. Winston's progressing. He's looking like a star. Mariota, he's got all the talent, but, like, what's happening there? They had all these young, kind of exciting receivers. Kendall Wright's got to get healthy, but they let DGB. They dumped him for nothing, didn't even explore trades. Hunter's gone now. I mean, it used to be kind of young and exciting for me. Now it's just kind of like middle-aged and gross, other than Tajay. Sharp there, obviously, but you know, if you're grounding and pound team and your defense doesn't give up any TDs, how are you losing the games? Like, I mean, I just don't feel good about this squad. I don't, you know, I'm just not feeling it. I mean, I'd like them to throw the ball a little bit more or get a little more creative with the run, but nothing happened. Henry did nothing. Murray only had like 13 carries, which again, how, when your defense isn't giving up any points, like, how do you not have the ball more? How are you not getting more carry? I don't know what they're doing. I didn't watch the game. I don't like anything about the Tennessee Titans. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah. Speaking of poorly utilized situations, Devonta Freeman finished 2015, you know, most places as the overall running back one. And for whatever reason, the Falcons don't want to exploit this. They want to continue to force feed Tevin Coleman into that offense.
I was surprised. I thought a lot of the stuff that we heard in the preseason about Devontae and Tevin kind of possibly shifting to a timeshare was kind of, you know, BS. I wasn't really buying it after the season that Devontae had last year. But I figured he'd at least keep, you know, the majority of the receiving work. And what concerned me was Tevin out-targeted him. He out-targeted him in the receiving game too. But, you know, he's got this Oakland matchup coming up. Kind of hoping we get more clarity on exactly what they're going to be doing back there. But it's alarming, especially if you spent, you know, a second round pick on Devontae or maybe even a first round pick in some leagues.
I feel bad for the Freeman owners because I was on the end of that last year when the coaches named Coleman the starter, and then Freeman went a couple rounds later and became the superstar. So obviously they believe in Coleman quite a bit here. And I mean, they really want to split it no matter what, even though Freeman absolutely slayed it last year. So I'm not quite sure. Maybe they don't believe or want to put that workload on him. He's a kind of a smaller guy. Maybe they don't want to pound him all season. And maybe Coleman is a pretty talented guy to me, too. So, you know, I don't have a huge problem with it, but Freeman produced so heavily last year, you almost have to leave him in there. I'm not quite sure what they're doing, but it is what it is. So, yeah, it's a tough situation. We'll see how it plays out.
Can you summarize what your take is on this whole national anthem fiasco?
Yeah, totally. So you can find me at footballdiehards.com. That's where I do all my writing, all my work. Sunday I'll be doing a Facebook Live chat Q&A. You can find me on Twitter, FFDegenerate. It's with a J for Jen. As far as the national anthem, you know, military is near and dear to my heart. I know that's not what it's about, but that is what it's about. So I'm just kind of steering clear for the most part. But I mentioned to you, you know, the Seahawks. I'm kind of confused by what was going on there. I know the coach is like a crazy 9/11 truther, which we could have a whole other show about that lunatic. But, you know, they spoke all week about this big demonstration, and they released this like movie trailer on all their Twitter pages. And they sort of did nothing. They just stood there arm in arm, which I was, I probably much preferred than some like bizarre, weird thing. But you know, the whole point, I think, that Colin Kaepernick was trying to make was that he wanted to get conversations going, and he did. And I totally respect him for taking Nate Boyer, former Green Beret, his advice in going from sitting on the bench to kneeling. So I don't know. Just everybody be nice to each other, and we won't have to have these protests and all this other crap.
And we don't allow Pete Carroll bashing on the off the record ever, 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 ever. And, you know, I'm not sure what they're doing for the solidarity thing. I'm kind of over the whole national anthem thing. I don't care if they want to do it. It's all good with me. Cap, who would have thought Kaepernick, the benched player, the disgraced, biggest fall off in NFL history, would ignite such a movement? I mean, it's surprising for such a loser, a worthless player, is starting such a significant movement. It's quite impressive, actually. That would be like Christian Slater starting like some huge thing for the actors, all the biggest actors in the world, following some loser like that. I mean, so it's kind of like that, but it's all good. I mean, it doesn't matter to me. I don't think they mean they have a problem with the military. I think, you know, it's obviously a racism thing, and if there are people are actually talking about it because of it, if they already weren't, that's great for me. But Pete Carroll, yes, he's a little crazy. Yes, he's a little nuts, but we went to the Super Bowl back-to-back years. He won multiple titles at USC, or maybe just one, even though they got taken away because they were paying players. He is a legend. We don't bash him on Off the Record or anywhere else for that matter.
I can give you a little support with that, as he was a former Jets head coach, and I am partial to Pete Carroll myself. So I will back you up on that one. Anyway, that's going to do it for episode 7 of Off the Record. I want to thank my guests, Jim Ryan, Psycho Les of the Beat Nuts, of course, the Fantasy Doctor, Celan Parekh, the Lord, as always. Quick couple reminders, fantasyassembly.com, check them out. Our other partners, Friends with Fantasy Benefits. You can see Tahal and I on the Razzball Dream League that we're participating in. You can also hear us weekly in Atlanta on 9:20 a.m. The Answer. And lastly, actually, two more things. One thing, please check out CustomFantasyRings.com. Use the code NickelPressTV. If you're interested and like their products, they will give you free shipping on any orders. You can actually, yes, get some bling for your fantasy titles. And then lastly, I began the Nickel Press Squeeze last week, which was 90 seconds, giving you my lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. They both cashed, so I should probably retire now, but I'm foolish, and I'm going to try it again this week. So if you missed the last week, hopefully you tune in. And that'll do it. We'll see you next week. Thanks as always. Follow us on Twitter. Get your questions in, and we'll be back.